Several years ago, there was a discussion between a husband and wife. The wife was a Catholic and the husband was not. And the husband couldn't understand why his wife wanted to have their child baptized. Because, as he said, this is a sweet and innocent child, not guilty of anything. And that's true up to an extent. That the child, of course, is not guilty of any personal sin. But, of course, we're all born with original sin, and that's something that the husband couldn't quite grasp, that we're actually born damaged. And as his wife explained to him, he says, well, you know, you think this child is very sweet and innocent and can do no wrong, but soon you're going to have to get up early for work, you're going to have a very important day and need all the sleep you can get, and that baby's going to keep you awake all night long, and it won't seem quite so innocent at that point. And it's true. At certain points in our lives, we do see that. That there are things that keep us from being truly what God intended us to be, which is holy and blameless in His sight. God made us in His image and likeness, but sin mars that image. It doesn't destroy it totally, it can't, but it can certainly keep us away from God. And deep in the heart of every person, there's a longing for God. As St. Augustine put it, God has made us for Himself, and our hearts will be restless until they rest in Him. And the Psalms say that. St. Augustine's echoing the Psalms when he says, when the Psalms say that our heart can rest in God and God alone. In God alone do we find our perfect peace and contentment. And God knows that. And we know that. But we don't always acknowledge it. As Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled, we can see this happening in our own day. That people hear the gospel, it's evident. The gospel's preached everywhere, and they see the lives of Christians, but people don't always understand. They misunderstand either because they don't want to or because, quite simply, they haven't been told. But many times, people simply refuse to hear the truth because, as Isaiah continues, they look but never see. Their hearts are gross, not in the contemporary understanding of being disgusting, but their hearts are gross in the fact that it becomes blocked. It's blocked by something. They hardly hear with their ears. They close their eyes because they simply don't want to see what's reality. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to understand with their hearts because people quite simply don't want to be converted and have God heal them. It's not as much fun. But then what happens when the fun disappears and you have nothing but sorrow that's left? You have sorrow. You have misunderstanding, trials and tribulations, and people kind of lose heart. Then what? God is calling us into union with Himself. He realizes that it's only in Him that we find who we truly are, that we find who He wants us to be, that we find our perfect peace, and ultimately our perfect happiness. We keep trying so many ways and find ourselves empty, because we look everywhere else except at the source of true contentment and peace, which is God. You ever wonder why millions of Catholics every day receive the Blessed Sacrament? We receive communion day after day, but there's not a whole lot of change there. And millions more receive the Eucharist Sunday after Sunday, and we tend to be the same old, nothing ever really changes. Why is that? If the Blessed Sacrament, if Holy Communion is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, and it is, then why is it that nothing changes in us? Quite simply, because we don't allow it to happen. Our souls are the soil that Jesus is talking about. He Himself is the Word, the seed. And just as St. John tells us, the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, the Word also becomes flesh on the altar and dwells in us so that we can bear good fruit, so that the effects of original sin can be reversed, that we're no longer distant from God, but we become united to God, and united to God, we become like God, so that our thoughts, our words, our actions, everything that we are speaks of Christ who's living in us. St. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's the fruit that we're looking for, that God is looking to produce in us, if we allow it. He respects our free will. St. Paul talks about that. He says, brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings that we endure, no matter what those sufferings might be, it can be temptation, it could be some kind of internal turmoil, it could be sufferings from the outside, whatever it is, any suffering that you and I undergo, there's nothing that can compare with the glory that is going to be revealed for us. Now, St. Paul does not say we're going to be glorified at some later point. The glory is already there. Baptized and forgiven, given the graces of God, Christ is living in us, but he's not always seen. Once we die and see God face to face, we'll see exactly how he's been working in us and through us, as long as we have allowed him to. As I said, the human heart has a longing for God, and as St. Paul continues, all of creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. All of creation wants to see Christ living in us. That's the whole point. People are waiting to hear Christ speaking through us, to see Christ acting through us, to see the presence of Christ in you and me who claim to be Christian. Because of sin, creation was made subject to futility. In other words, we live in a very sterile world apart from Christ. And Jesus says that, apart from me, you can do nothing. But united to him, with God, all things are possible. God allows this to happen so that now all things are subjected to him, that he becomes the Lord. But he does so so that all of creation can be set free from slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. We love God not because we are compelled or because we have to, but because we choose to. And likewise, we do not sin because we have to, but because we choose. We can choose that freedom, we can choose that grace and live like sons and daughters of God. All of creation groans in labor pain, St. Paul says, even until now. And not only that, but we ourselves have that first fruits, the first fruits of the Spirit. We've grown within ourselves as we wait for the redemption of our bodies, the fulfillment of who we are. In other words, the gifts are there. What are you going to do with it? That's the question. The seed has been sown. What are you going to do with it? The Lord says through Isaiah, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it." So do we do that? God has sent us into the world to do his will, not ours, to achieve the end for which he sent us, to be holy, to transform the world. And he's prepared us for that. He has watered us, making us fertile and fruitful. But do we allow God to do his work? When Jesus talks about the different kinds of soil, as I said, he's talking about different kinds of people and our souls. Some seed is sown on the path. We hear the word of the kingdom without understanding it. The devil comes and temptations steal us away. There's seed that's sown on rocky ground, a person who hears the word and receives it at once with joy, but there's no root and it lasts only for a time. Those are people who are lukewarm, and anything can kind of steer us off the path. There are those who might have been away from God and come back. And I see this happen many times when people go on retreat or crucio or something like that. And they come back and they're on fire. And it lasts for a little while, but then once the good feeling is gone, well, then so is the fervor. And they're not quite what they once were. And they're back to square one. There are others who love God as long as things are going well. But when trouble comes, then they kind of go away. Or on the other side, there are those who stay away from God. Then when trouble comes, they come back to him. And when things are good, they go back to their old way of life again. Again, lukewarmness. What Christ is looking for is depth. Depth and stability. Some constancy. And how does that happen? It's by listening. You know the world is filled with all kinds of noise. It comes from the TV, the radio, our computers, the iPads, the iPhones, everywhere. It's noise all the time. We seem not to be able to live without noise. But we never listen, do we? If you come to Mass and somebody were to ask you an hour from now, what were the readings about, could you tell them? Do we listen and listen to God? Prepare your hearts with prayer. Prepare your minds and your souls by reading the Word so that when you receive the Word made flesh, Christ can really be deeply rooted and help you to bear good fruit. Listen in prayer Take time for silence and let God speak to you. You may not want to hear what He has to say initially, but God only means your happiness, your fulfillment, and your peace. Before you come to Mass, take the readings and read them over. You may not understand it first, but God will prepare you for what you're going to have in Mass, and things will become clear if you let Him instruct you. Just listen, and pray. When I was a kid, getting ready to make my first communion, I knew about digestion, knowing that when you ate food, it went to your stomach and, of course, nourished your body, and, of course, waste was expelled. But I wasn't quite sure what would happen with the host after receiving communion, so I asked my mother about that. I said, where does the host go when you receive it? And she had the perfect answer. It goes to your heart. That's exactly where Christ goes. He goes to the human heart to transform us and to make us whole, and in doing so, to make us holy. But anyone who's ever farmed, anyone who's ever grown a garden, anyone who's ever planted a plant before knows, for the plant to flourish, the ground has to be broken. It has to be broken, it has to be purified, and it has to be fertilized. It's got to be nourished. And same with us. Christ has to break us of our sinful inclinations. He has to nourish us with His grace. He has to purify us from sin so that He can transform us and make us something whole, just like He does with the Eucharist. That Christ takes us, He blesses us, He breaks us, and transforms us into Himself. Only in Christ will our souls be at rest. Only in Christ do we find fulfillment. Only in Christ can we bear good fruit. The seed is the Word of God. We receive the Word made flesh. Christ Himself is the sower. All who come to Him will flourish, bear fruit, and will have life forever. May God bless us with the yield. May He find in us a good harvest. May He find us doing His will, achieving the end for which He sent us.